All right, great to have you back with us. Fun show this morning. It's Giants and Angels coming up, and we bring in Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you today? Good morning.
Good morning, Marty. How's it going?
Oh, very well, very well. Did you get to see the game last night, the WBC game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't miss it. That's the best theater going, even than that before I watched some of the NC2A games. It's been so good.
So what did you think? Yeah, what did you think last night?
Well, Daniel Bard almost turned it into a clown show. They had a 5-2 lead. They bring this. What's he doing on the team, Marty? This guy was out of baseball for 5 years because he couldn't find the strike zone. He's going to be 38. He'd be maybe the last guy in the country he'd put on the team. They bring this guy in, and he can't find the plate. He hits Altuve in the thumb. Altuve's going to need thumb surgery. He walks in a run, and you know DeRosa's just sitting there. I mean. You can't even bring him into the game. And once things start to get out of hand, as soon as he's faced the three batters, get him the hell out of there. I could not believe that he's even on the team. However, even though they went up 6-5, Venezuela went up 6-5. You know, Trey Turner hits the big slam. The U.S. bench goes crazy, and it wound up being a fantastic win. For the U.S., but it was a clown show that could have gone so wrong, and people would have been talking about it for the next 2 weeks.
Goodness gracious. Well, he did all right at Colorado last year, so I could see why they picked him. But, Bruce, one of the issues with the WBC are pitchers, and they don't want to come out of the camps, and the teams are hesitant to let them go, and they discourage them from going. So there's all sorts of restrictions, but I agree with you. It looked like he stayed with them a little too long.
Well, right off the bat, he couldn't find the plate. Smoltz said early on he has no idea where the ball's going, and he sure didn't. You know, from DeRosa's standpoint, you don't want to bring in a big parade of pitchers. Maybe guys aren't ready. You know, he's really got to worry about the teams that they play for and how they feel about the guys coming in. You know, Nick Martinez, a guy on the staff, went home back to San Diego because he learned he wasn't going to start either of these last two games if they get to the title game. He just said, "I'm out of here." There's a lot of issues when it comes to pitching in the WBC, but I guarantee you they don't feel that way in Venezuela. I mean, if they had a guy out there who couldn't find the plate after two or three hitters, man, he's so out of there.
Yeah, good baseball. Good baseball.
Yeah,
the crowd was great
baseball.
Too. So tonight it's USA and Cuba, and then tomorrow it's Mexico and Japan. How about that? Those are interesting games.
Oh, U.S.-Cuba is unbelievable. I mean, it's in Miami. That's where the largest Cuban population in the United States is, in Miami. You know, there'll be fervent fans, you know, for Cuba. There'll be Cubans who are rooting for the U.S. I mean, they just can't throw a blanket over what it's going to be like, except it's going to be extremely exciting. Good to know that Wainwright's going to pitch for the U.S. today. That sounds pretty promising. And Cuba's been real good. I mean, they got Luis Robert on the team and Yoan Moncada, you know, guys who had defected, but they're missing an awful lot of guys who weren't invited or rejected it, you know, guys like Abreu and Chapman and Yuli Gurriel and Soler, and it could be an unbelievable team, but it's still very, very good, and that's going to be great stuff today.
All right, Bruce Jenkins with us, and we have a guest with you, Bruce. It's the professor, Ron Wotus. Whoa. Good morning. Bruce Jenkins is on with us.
Hey, Marty. How you doing? Good to hear you, Bruce. How you been?
Hey, man. That's great. Well, I wish my wife were around. She's your biggest fan, or one of your biggest fans, but good to talk to you.
Yeah, I miss Martha taking her photos all those times.
Absolutely.
She was always real good to me and gave me a lot of great stuff back in the day.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Good to hear your voice.
Well, Bruce is excited about the WBC. Well, did you see it last night at all? Did you watch any of it?
No, I didn't see it, but a lot of the guys were talking about it in the clubhouse. A lot of the coaches watched it. I was at dinner, so I had to eat. So I chose dinner over the game last night. I have a game to watch today, though.
Well, someone brought up the fact, well, guys can get hurt here and there. But, you know, this is not like a spring training game, these WBC games. And I think that's, Bruce, I don't know how you feel. I'll throw it to you first. These games are intense. They're not like spring training games, and maybe that's a little more dangerous for the players. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. You know, danger is going to happen anytime. You know, players have been hurt in spring training games that didn't mean a thing, and a pitch gets away. Next thing, you know, a guy's out for 3 months or whatever. He slides into second base and can't get up. But if they certainly aren't anything close to spring training games for Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Puerto Rico. I mean, these teams, this is life and death for them. You watch them, you know, a guy drives in a run in the first inning and the whole dugout's out on the field. I mean, there's absolute, the meaning, it cannot be expressed enough how much it means to these teams. It's great that these last games are unfolding in Miami with a great crowd that knows what's going on. It's not quite the same for the U.S., but I'll guarantee you the guys on the team, you know, Trey Turner and Goldschmidt, Arenado, Trout, you know, the more it goes on, the more they realize how great it is to play for your country. And it's certainly not like spring for them either.
Well, Ohtani, we're going to see him for Japan. You know, you've seen Ohtani. 102 the other day? How about that?
Yeah, he's a special player. There's no question about it. He's different than everybody else in the league. They have that other monster in Mike Trout. But Ohtani's a guy I think that people are going to come out to see, right? They love to see him. I mean, he can pitch, he can hit, he can run. He's just a special guy in this league. Probably the most special player, you know, you make that argument. I know Judge obviously had a lot of love playing in New York, and the fans love him. But Ohtani is somebody to watch.
Bruce, you've been on Ohtani since day one.
Well, you have to be. I mean, reading about him, what he was doing in Japan, everyone was ready to watch him as soon as he got to the bigs. And, man, he didn't disappoint. He was right off the bat. He was a hell of a pitcher and a hell of a hitter. I mean, where did this guy come from? You know, but he had such a great story. He's from sort of a, you know, an outlying area in Japan, kind of a quiet little area, not a big city. You know, it's kind of a small town guy with big talent, and really, really, it's just a tremendous story that was written about, you know, before he got there. I know the LA Times was all over him, and yeah, he could hardly not pay attention to him. But he's not going to pitch again. They've got Sasaki and Yamamoto lined up for the next two games, who happen to be their two best pitchers in Japan right now, and really highly sought after whenever they make themselves available for the U.S. But Ohtani will be in there to hit.
Sasaki threw 66 pitches. Well, 21 were 100 miles an hour or more. Isn't he like 21 years old, Bruce, something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think he's closer to the bigs than Yamamoto, just in terms of the, you know, the politics and all of that. But, yeah, he's a good choice for them against Mexico, which would be another great game there. That should be great.
How do you feel about spring training, Bruce, so far? I know you were away. You had your vacation. The Giants are moving pieces around like a puzzle right now. They've got a couple of injuries. How do you feel about the ball club right now?
Well, it's hard to feel anything different than the way you did going in. You know, they've got a lot of question marks. They made some good additions, not spectacular ones. You know, there's a general feeling that that San Diego and L.A. are, you know, pretty well ahead of them, certainly in terms of talent and star power. I haven't seen a lot. I haven't seen more than one or two games, really. There's not much on TV, and I was out of town. So the visuals I don't have, just trying to stay up with the box scores. But, you know, the way I feel about it is, this is, as we said yesterday, it's that time where spring training is too long, and let's get on with it. The only good part about it is that, you know, Haniger and Crawford get a chance to heal during a time there aren't any games. But I think it's got the potential to be a fun team. I really like the pitching. I like the rotation depth is going to be huge, because you just never know when somebody all of a sudden has got a forearm strain and that goes bad. But a lot of depth there. And they've got to pick up the ball. I think they're not going to lead the league in hitting. If they can improve their defense with that pitching, you know, they're certainly going to be a factor.
Well, this spring has been interesting with the stolen base attempts. I mean, you were there yesterday. 9 stolen base attempts against the Cubs. Have you ever seen that before?
Not at this level, no. And I think, you know, Cap, when he messages something like the bunting for base hits. We led the league, was it last year, and
right,
bunting for base hits. And the year before, we did a good job with that. And, you know, I think it's great. A lot of times you don't want to steal that many bases. The old school thought is, you know, you don't want to keep your guys healthy. But a lot of these guys that are running are young players that are trying to show what they can do. And they've made some adjustments on the bases. They've stressed fundamentals this spring. They've stressed base running, just not stolen bases. And we're seeing that message play out now and how aggressive everybody is being. And even being over in minor league camp, these are things that, as a Giant organization, we want to get back to. Fundamental baseball and running the bases, because those are the two things that are slipping in today's game. So it's great to see.
Bruce, there's been a player down here. We didn't talk about him yesterday when we did the phenoms, but Bryce Johnson. Young man, switch hitter, did well in Sacramento, can steal a lot of 62 out of 70, I think, at Sacramento. But he gives that element of speed, and he's been very interesting in the, down here. I think he's part of the team, but he's going to set a major league record for steals in the Cactus League.
A coveted record, previously
right,
held by Randy Elliott.
He's got 11 already. He's got 11.
Wotus made some great points there. It's not you just you want it to be part of the Giants team, but part of the big leagues in general. I mean, you just, more action has been desired, and now it's almost required with the new rules. The base running is going to be great. I think every team's going to need a guy like Bryce Johnson. Ideally, he's playing for you every day and a threat every day, and you just you never stop worrying about him. But even if he does make the team and comes off the bench, man, that's just a great weapon to have. And you know, with the DH in the league, you don't burn up bench players as much as you did before. So you'll have a guy like that. You can you stash him there and you save him for a big moment, just like you would a pinch hitter. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, he looks fearless to me.
Well, he's fast, and he's trying to prove himself and to stay on this major league club, and this has always been one of his strengths. And one of the great things to see is, I mean, you can't steal bases if you don't get on,
yeah.
Right? And he's getting on base. He's getting on base, and he's had plenty of opportunities, and he'll continue to do that if he gets on base because, you know, if there's one thing in this game that pitchers aren't adept to is the running game. You know, I mean, there are more throwers today. You know, the throwovers are limited now. So there are those advantages with the rules. The bases are a little bit close. But he could run in any error. That's the type of base stealer he can be.
Hmm. Yeah, it's just so interesting that you're limited with the pickoff throws or step-offs. You only get two of those. And after that, if you're going to throw over there again, you better get him. If you don't, it's a balk. And the
right.
guy's on second. So, I mean, that's a huge thing. It's going to be really interesting to see what kind of leads guys take when the two disengagements are up, whether he thinks the pitcher is a little bit rattled. You know, is he going to make a mistake? And that's good. It's good dialogue for the fans, too, to sort of talk this out as it's happening. I think that's always healthy, but the result's going to be fun.
Well, I brought up a point yesterday to you and Mark Hallberg about a walking lead. That maybe as the clock ticks down, you get a better walking lead. And you guys disagreed with me on that.
Well, look, there's things you can put in place to deter the walking lead or the guys jumping or trying to time it. You know, you have that pitch comm now where the pitcher has it, the catcher has it, the first baseman has it. You can call pickoffs right and left. And you have the clock that you could use as a guide to pick people off. You know, years ago, the biggest reason you didn't want to put pick plays on and different things is you're worried about players getting it. You're in L.A., you're a long way from the field, you're trying to give the catcher a back pick to first. Now all I do is push a button, and
wow.
they can run these plays. So it really has changed how you can implement pickoff plays. So you're still going to see it, though. You're going to see guys at first base. Not necessarily a walking lead, but they're going to see that clock running down, and they're going to kind of leap, you know, like you steal third. You see guys stealing third. They take that big shuffle when that pitcher turns his head home. They take that big shuffle, and if the pitcher continues home, they continue running. If he stops and looks back, they get back to the base. It's harder to do that at first because it's a little riskier, but we will see some of that.
Yeah. Bruce, interesting. You know, the clock ticks down, so you could say, all right, at 5 seconds, we're doing it. And you have that, and, you know, you have that down. Bruce, I think that changes the pickoff situation.
Well, it definitely does. I mean, as I was saying, I mean, you have to be really careful how you're going to treat the pickoff situation. You might have a guy who doesn't have a good move, or maybe he has trouble, you know, with accuracy throwing to first, and you know the guy in first just might say, "What the hell? I'm just going now." You know, but if you get to the two disengagements, then the pitcher is really at a disadvantage. Although he might, if he can wait enough to beat the clock, you got to beat the clock in all these cases, right? But if the guy's taking too big of a lead, then you just pick him off. We'll have to see how it goes. I mean, I haven't seen I've seen almost no baseball with the clock in progress. And you know, as we say, the games aren't counting, but the thing is happening. And I just really want to see it when the games count every night and all around the bigs. The stories will be emerging, you know, people adjusting to it, people not adjusting in time for it. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, Bruce, you're exactly right. We really don't know. You know, we know Arizona's going to be a big part of their game. And it's always like that. You have certain teams where it's going to be a big part of their game, but it remains to be seen how many chances and how aggressive certain teams are going to be. So, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Bruce, you mentioned Romo yesterday. We saw him coming in this morning, and, boy, the guy has been just he's so emotional about the fact that he's back here. He's going to retire as a Giant. I said, can you get anybody out? He says, absolutely. So ask Woe your thoughts. We didn't talk about Woe. We'll come back to Bruce in a second, but Romo's here. What about that?
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I got to see him yesterday and talk to him in a training room. I asked him how his trick knee was. You know, he says, I got knee braces, don't worry. And I said, just don't blow out before you get in the game trying to get in shape, because he does have some mileage on him. And he told me, he goes, that slider will be there. We know it's going to be there, but I don't know how many I can throw. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you talk about desire in an athlete and competitive nature, going against, I don't know, I'd say average physical tools. He's a little guy. He really only had the two pitches. And year after year, all three of the title teams, he was huge out of the bullpen. Of course, the classic strikeout looking on Cabrera in the World Series, but you just amazing guts on the guy, and it's so much pride and emotion. Sometimes in the locker room, his emotions would spill out with interviewers, and he didn't have patience for this or that. Other times, my God, he'd just spill his heart out, and you just always cared for the guy. And the fans cared for him too. They don't care if he's played for seven teams since he left the Giants, and now all of a sudden it seems like he never left.
Such an important player for the Giant organization, what he did out of the bullpen as a setup guy and then as a closer. And he's very emotional about this. He is very touched to be back here to have this opportunity. Yeah. And he's nervous. He told me he's nervous for the first time in his life going out there to have this chance to retire as a Giant. And I'll tell a quick sidebar onto that pitch that he threw to Posey to strike out Cabrera. Posey didn't want the fastball. He called for the slider twice, which everybody in the park, including Cabrera, thought he was going to throw, and he kept shaking him off, and Buster said, oh, well, he's that convicted. I'm going to put it down. He threw it right down the middle, and he took it. So he had that savvy, and he had that guts, and he had that command. It was a great pitcher for us, and it's so happy to have him here.
Why was that pitch so hard to hit, that slider? Did it break that late?
It had a bigger break than normal. If they had the analytics today, the sweep on that thing would be a lot bigger, and it was slower. It wasn't. He didn't have powerful stuff, so it was like it was between a slider and a curveball, and it had a lot of horizontal break. But probably the most impressive thing is the location he put it in. He put it just off the plate so many times, and not many pitchers in the league had that type of break and that speed of break. So it's hard to get used to. It's like looking at Tyler Rogers when you first see him. He's down underneath. He throws the ball uphill. It's a different look.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, as a hitter, you're up there, the slider It looks like a strike just for a moment, just enough to maybe you pull the trigger, have a little bit of uncertainty. Next thing you know, it's too far outside, maybe to even hit at all or to make any kind of contact. But his control was so good, it was very rare that he just hung one, because if you hang a slow slider, you're going to get crushed in the bigs anywhere. But he just routinely put that thing low and away. And the great thing on Cabrera was a 2-2 count, so, I mean, of course he's going to throw the slider. If you miss, he's still got another chance. But only Romo thinks, only guy in the world thinks, I'm going to get away with a fastball here, and he did.
Well, I'll tell you, it's great to talk about this. Well, what about that bullpen? How about that bullpen? Come on.
Oh, my
three
goodness.
World Series. Come on.
Yeah.
How about that bullpen?
Well, that's what you need to win close games. We talk about it all the time. Even before Boach, Felipe would say, you got to win the games you're supposed to win. And when you have a bullpen, a shutdown bullpen, if you get that lead by the sixth, seventh inning, you know you're going to win that game. That breeds winning, because you don't expect to lose. And we've had that here a number of times in the World Series, and we had it here with Farhan when we had Pomerantz, and we had three guys, and we traded a few guys away because we weren't in contention. But once we got it through the sixth, we won that game. So yeah. All those guys, Affelt and Romo and certainly Willie and the gang, it's a
Lopez,
great feeling. Lopez,
I
can't forget Javi. It's a great feeling to have as a club when you have a lead.
Isn't it?
You don't expect the other team to score, and you win a lot of games that way.
Yeah. Bruce, that you think back to Romo and that bullpen, and you watch baseball today. Wow, special, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, you just don't see it. The Giants did get it together when they won 107 games, and it was a great thing to watch because it was consistent. I mean, things change in the big leagues really every year. You have no idea who's going to suddenly come up with this sort of thing, like Kansas City had a few years ago, or the Cardinals, or teams
right.
All of a sudden they've got four guys, but these four, you had two righties, two lefties. They were all completely different, different looks. Different approaches. Everything about him, about facing the next guy was different than the last guy. Perfect balance. I mean, that was just beautiful. But talk about consistency. I mean, they rode that horse for 5 years.
Did they ever make you nervous?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I was always upset when Boach took out Affelt after he struck out a guy with the most hellacious slider I've ever seen. I don't care if a right-hander is coming up. Leave him in there, but. But basically, those are guys that you could trust. I'm sure the fans, after a while, they trusted every one of those four guys.
Well, you mentioned that, Phil. He made me nervous more than most times. And Boach, too. You didn't know when he was going to – he self-proclaimed scuds, he says,
right.
He would throw. And well, he pitched so good in the playoffs and World Series. He was one of our best pitchers. So he rose to the occasion. But you're right, Bruce. He had great stuff. And Willie – Boach tells the story. He'd be pacing back and forth because he's like Don Stanhouse, full pack. He'd go 3-on-2 on everybody. He'd fall behind the count, and you're pacing. It's like, geez, with his stuff, just get it done. But he kept the ball out of the middle of the plate, too. Great command for a closer, which you don't see in today's game very often.
Yeah. What? Good stuff. Good stuff. Bruce, pleasure having you on this morning. This good baseball talk, isn't it, on a Sunday morning?
Oh, it's a pleasure being on with Woe. He's just so knowledgeable, and he explains things so well that fans have a better idea what's going on the inside. Beautiful stuff.
Well, all right. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, talk to you guys later.
See you, Bruce.
Take care. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to ask you a question. I talked to Kai Correa about this. How did you learn how to hit fungos? He had a very interesting answer on how he learned to do this. We're going to do this when we come back with Will right after these messages. KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.